Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
DK Metcalf, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap. I'm joined by Cody Carpentier here live at the NFL Combine. It's what, day, I guess we've been here 4 days, but it's day three of the Combine, the first day that we were able to interview some of these running backs, quarterbacks, and wide receivers. So really getting into the kind of the meat of the order here as far as the reason we come to Indy is getting ahead for our fantasy stuff. And, man, got to see a whole lot of them today. Got to talk to a whole lot of them. We could talk about whether or not there's still any, for anybody watching live, is still any prize picks or underdog value out there as far as the Pick'em streets. There certainly was today, as there was talks of guys saying records were going to be broken in the 40, all the rest. We'll get to all that, but I think we should start out with a couple of breaking news things that have happened around here, and of course there's a lot of talk about it and a lot of things we can pull away just from the NFL side. Guys that are already in the league, and there's the Matthew Stafford deal where it was reported by Jordan Schultz, and now I guess as we're recording this, it's been confirmed by
Jordan Rodriguez and Adam Schefter
that Matthew Stafford is finalizing a deal to stay with the Rams after all this consternation, all this talk about the Giants, and most recently the Raiders, and everything else. It looks like Stafford will be staying there, so we'll get to that. But man, what I find super interesting, especially with how it has corresponded with what Brian Gutekunst has said here at the Combine, the Packers GM Brian Gutekunst, is this talk of the DK Metcalf trade to the Green Bay Packers and the reporting coming back from Seattle. I think it was Corbin Smith who said that what he was hearing is that if there were to be a trade of DK Metcalf to Green Bay, they would need number one this year, which I believe is 23, and then one of either Romeo Doubs or Dontavian Wicks, plus one early day three pick.
Put a barometer on this thing. What do you think the likelihood of this happening is?
I think it's a lot to pay for DK Metcalf, but
that's kind of the first thing that came to my mind was like, if you're the Packers, some of the scuttlebutt that we heard, the first 2 days, which the first 2 days predominantly on Tuesday, it's all GMs coaches. And then on Wednesday, it's some players. And then the rest of the GMs or coaches that chose to take the media availabilities, some of the scuttlebutt from some of the local reporters and others that were standing around there that cover the Packers from a different extent was like, well, what happened to Jaden Reed last year? And then I wonder, does this mean that Dontavian Wicks is going to get an opportunity since Christian Watson's probably not going to start the season with his ACL injury?
He won't start the season.
Right? Yes, yeah. Yes. And like that was the question, was like, is Wicks going to get a chance? And now, no less than 48 hours. This is what happens in Indianapolis. No less than 48 hours later, we hear, well, and we heard the DK Metcalf thing during the season. So it makes sense that this is attached.
Yeah, but
Dontavian in a first round pick though for Metcalf, and Metcalf's going to be due like a $24 to $28 million contract.
Yeah, dude, I just
this isn't a Packer move.
Well, I think the Packers have they've definitely changed. They've definitely changed a little. Ever since Ted Thompson's been out of there, they've slowly sort of changed. But I do agree with you. They're a draft your guys, develop your guys stuff. It looks like 2025 is
$31.8 million against the cap.
Well, I think they would probably have to, you know, they would probably have to do something to get that figured out. I wonder. So what Gutekunst has said this week is he's just being asked, all right, no Christian Watson for probably the first half of the 2025 season at the very least, right? Jaden Reed with a down year this last year, relatively, right? Jaden Reed not quite as productive as at least what some of the Green Bay local media would have thought, right? And not really utilized as heavily as they would have thought. They if you talk to the media around Green Bay, they think Jaden Reed's a star that needs to be on the field for every play, yep. Right? And whether or not that's right, it hasn't been how he's been utilized. You know, anybody that does projections or whatever knows that he's not out of there in every two wide receiver set, but in a lot of those two wide receiver sets, when all those guys are healthy, man, Jaden Reed's not out there. So there was, whenever Gutekunst was asked about, like, well, so is wide receiver actually a priority here? You know, what are we doing? We have, you have Dontavian Wicks, who's been up and down. He's had issues with his hands, but definitely has had some giant, giant flash plays. And then you have Romeo Doubs, who the media, around Green Bay is hyper focused on this thing. Gutekunst during his off podium stuff. So the stuff that, is not the availabilities that aren't up on YouTube or, streaming on NFL Network, was saying he was having to defend Romeo Doubs and saying, like, look, I'm not going to go so far as to say that he has a concussion problem,
which I find weird because he didn't wear the helmet condom and then he put it on and got another concussion with it on. Like, that kind of the,
Saying him and Tajay Spears were the two guys that got the concussions this year with the
– So you start the season without –
with the Guardian helmet.
You get a concussion, then you put it on, and you get another one. Like, to me, that's a concussion problem. I think to everybody else it is. That's why it was asked, with Romeo's concussion problem and Christian's ACL, and Gutekunst basically said, well, I don't think Romeo has a concussion problem.
Right.
Which I think's odd.
But what he did say is he said, look, obviously, there are going to be opportunities for the guys that we have on the roster, but I think you'll see here in the next few weeks, there are other ways of acquiring talent, And so, and when you say the next few weeks, obviously you think about free agency, but he did also mention the draft, and I'm not sure. It's wild. It's like, as of maybe coming into last year, we were thinking to ourselves, man, this is a wide receiver unit that they have not really spent huge draft capital on, that they've taken every single one of them from the Senior Bowl, yeah. And that it was one where it's like they could be actually kind of good. We've seen solid flashes out of all four of them, and now all of a sudden it's just looking like –
The problem is there just hasn't been an alpha star to stick his head out of the mud.
Well, they think that that's Reed.
But he hasn't done it. He hasn't stuck his head out of the mud and been like, I'm the one. Like, we know his mentality is that. We know his capabilities are that. But maybe he's just – and this is to give no discredit to Debo Samuel, but this maybe he's just like a Debo light, where like Debo, even in his prime alphaness, wasn't a – alpha receiver that really like can control a game from a like receiver standpoint. It was because he took the ball out of the backfield. He took jet flies, and like because he took the ball and all these different things. Like, he's just not your prototypical DK Metcalf, your prime Amari Cooper. He's not your Jamar Chase. Like, that's just not really what Reed profiles as. Like, Debo never did.
DK Metcalf's 27 this year. I mean, it's not
AJ picks.
It's not like he's. He's getting up there, but it's not like the guy's as old as the hills. I mean, you can still get a lot of good years out of him, but you're getting to the top of the old roller coaster ride here a little bit. With the way he takes care of his body, I'm not sure that would be.
The problem is he's also fits like that Andre Johnson, that Julio Jones, like body archetype, right? And those guys sometimes overnight.
Yeah, it can go overnight for sure. I think what's more interesting, maybe not more interesting, but what's as interesting to discuss is if you're taking speculative stabs on J.S. Jackson Smith and Jigba right now, do you think that this would change the plan for Tyler Lockett? I've just always figured this was time for Tyler Lockett to kind of ride off into the sunset. I'm not sure if, you know, if that's anything that you'd sort of thought about, or I don't, it would feel like to me, this isn't the best year as far as if we're talking about target acquisition at the wide receiver position, in free agency or in the NFL draft to really be acquiring a bunch of talent, considering, well, I mean, what's the best free agent wide receiver, Christian Kirk? Or if Christian Kirk became available, he would be the top.
Depends how you classify Diggs.
Well, I think Diggs probably has injury, a year. Coming off injury.
Do you think – so the Seattle thing you brought up a second ago with JSN. So I'm looking – I got the Dynasty Top 250 up. If you want to get the Roster Watch, Dynasty Top 250, you can go over to rosterwatch.com, become a pro member. And me and Trashman did a little two-round Dynasty startup mock the other day. And I took Jack Smith and Jigba in the first round. Where our Dynasty rankings currently have him in one quarterback, I have him 7th overall. Trashman has him 12th. That's wide receiver 5.
So ahead of him, we only have Jamar, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb.
And Neighbors.
And Neighbors, of course. Yeah, that, I mean, it's that's pretty – yeah, that's pretty strong. But, I mean, he is – he's a year younger than Puka, I guess.
And the – I mean, and if DK's Puka gone
– Puka with Stafford coming back makes that an interesting conversation. But if DK's gone
– and Cup probably gone, right? Cup is the – I know Stafford's there and they have a relationship, but it's sounded like
you know me. Like I told you, even with Kupp leaving, I was going to be a slight bit worried, even if it was going to be Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. You know, I just thought with Stafford, he makes his wide receivers. And yeah. That's a good conversation moving forward. And I'm interested to see, it looks like due to much lower ranking that you have on Brian Thomas, he's not in that conversation. I think after this year, what we heard Liam Cohen say.
This is earlier, yeah, I've not updated this since our conversation with Liam Cohen. That
Liam Cohen saying that the passing offense is going to run through Brian Thomas, and also with the fact that Christian Kirk is probably the guy. I just said earlier when in free agency as if it had already happened, because it just seems like the first guy off anybody's lips when you start talking about cap casualties is Christian Kirk. So I don't know. I find it interesting for JSN. I find it interesting for what they'll end up doing with Tyler Lockett, and who knows, it might not happen, but it's a fun trade to think about. As far as today, anything stand out to you today? We kind of teased it at the beginning about these guys talking about record breaking performances. Of course, it's them boys from down in Texas. Right. And it's Isaiah Bond, the wide receiver from Texas, and Jaden Blue, the running back from Texas. Right now, both probably before they run on Saturday, I would say, or, Bond maybe more kind of early day two consideration after getting a whole lot of day one stuff earlier in the draft process. Through the draft process, we've kind of, I guess maybe through the end of the season and stuff when he was playing through injury, not as effective. And also, from what we're hearing, maybe some negative feedback, not only from some people at Texas that scouts are hearing, but also some people at Alabama, where he was before transferring to Texas prior to the 2024 season. But he's saying look, the reason why these guys are coming up with this, and we can tell you as dudes who also, we also cover the Longhorns, that Jaden, these guys race all the time, right? They do races, and they're very competitive. And last year, Jaden Blue would always race Xavier Worthy, and half the time, Jaden Blue would beat Worthy, right? And so Jaden Blue's like, if I can beat Worthy in a race, I can break the record, right? And I'm not sure it works exactly like that, but not quite. Because Xavier Worthy is a much more seasoned and veteran track runner. He's somebody who like knows how to get into his stance, who knows, about economy of motion, who understands how to pick up those little milliseconds whenever others just are kind of run fast. I think it's different when you're at the bubble at the Denius Fields there next to DKR, and you just say line up on the end zone line. And run to the 40. I think it's different than just getting down in your stance, getting your hand back like
prepping the last 6 weeks.
Yeah. So I'm not sure he's going to break the record, but the fact that he does have that natural speed is something that's really interesting. And, you know, this year, whenever they'd have their races, Blue and Bond would always race, right? And they had it back and forth with one another. And so Bond's thinking, well, what, you know, if he's as fast as them and he's as fast as them, you know, and I understand that the transitive property doesn't always work with everything in life. Say, well, if he's faster than him and I'm faster than him, then I'm faster than everybody, then I'm going to go win the fastest man ever at the combine this year. But I do think if you look at like Underdog right now, and you can go to Underdog, use promo code ROSTER for a 50% deposit bonus up to $1,000. I still think that there's some value in getting like Jaden Blue and Isaiah Bond, maybe less than where they're at. I think last I saw it's 4.36, something like this. Because if they're thinking they're going to go 4.419.
Bond is down to 4.29.
He is.
Yeah. Golden's at 4.42. I still think there's an incredible – that's the other Texas wide receiver. I still think there's an incredible amount of value in the Golden thing where nobody believes that. Gunnar Helm, 4.75. Where is Blue, 4.36?
The markets are catching up a little bit because Bond was at 4.34 to 4.36, and now he's down at 4.29. Well, so anyway, those are guys we're looking to run really, really fast. And as Cody mentioned, just the, you know, another Texas player, Matthew Golden. I found it really interesting that Golden is a guy who's probably going to go first round based on everything that we're hearing here. A lot of people have him as their wide receiver two. I haven't heard any Golden wide receiver one talk.
But I
have heard people talk about him as their wide receiver two.
The thing is, how about this? I brought it up. I brought up the Isaiah Bond runs sub 4.3. He vaults his name into first round. You know, we've talked to some guys that have Burden ahead of Tet. I have Burden ahead of Tet. You maybe don't. A lot of people like Tet. A lot of people love Tet as a top end.
I'm still finalizing.
But what I'm getting to is like there's a lot of conversation right now, and we all know that everybody loves Matthew Golden.
Yes.
Let me ask you this question. Matthew Golden, whose number I think is either 4.42 or 4.44, people don't expect him to be freaky fast. But if Golden – kind of like Adonai Mitchell last year from Texas.
Yep.
Expected to run mid 4.4s, comes in and runs eight.
No, he was expected to run 4.5. AD Mitchell's play speed was nothing close to that. And at the combine, we asked him, you know, and that's when he said he's like, I changed up my play speed throughout. Yep. Like there was hardly any of the time that you see me running full speed. With Golden, what we've forgotten to say is that he came to Indy, and unlike some of these dudes that yesterday that didn't want to, like he's taking the anti Walter Nolan approach. Walter Nolan yesterday could have run with those defensive linemen and based on what I'm hearing he's running, blown them all away and just run a 40 and said, I'm not going to do the rest of the workouts, but look how fast I am at 296 pounds or whatever. Do you know what Matthew Golden is doing? He's coming to Indianapolis. He's doing his meetings with teams. He's doing his medicals, and he's just running his 40, and he's getting out of here. What does that tell you about what you think he's probably going to run a 40?
So if this is my question. If he runs a 4.35, what is the percentage chance you think that Matthew Golden is the first receiver drafted?
I mean, if Golden runs a 4.35 and
– it kind of brings his game all full circle. Not everyone – I mean – speed is not part of his game, but if he runs a 4.35, it shows that it can be part of his game.
Yeah, well, a dynamic game-breaking speed was not how Matthew Golden elevated his game through the second half of the Texas season this year.
But it's something he had in Houston.
But yeah, I mean, you just look at – I mean, he played on a Houston team that had, like, Tank Dell, and he's the one that's returning all the punts, you know, so – of course, Matthew Golden was at the University of Houston prior to this last season when he transferred into Texas. Down the stretch with Texas, there was nothing about his speed that was the reason he exploded onto the scene and started helping Texas win these football games. It had to do with just this uncanny and ridiculous and just mind-bending ability to just adjust to footballs, catch every little thing that was thrown his way, contort his body. I'm telling you, man, like the ultimate Odell Beckham type of catches that he was making. I can't believe it, but Odell Beckham is my comp for the guy. And so if he's an Odell Beckham type of receiver that goes and runs a 4.35, How can you not? And then you have Ted McMillan, and you say, okay, wait, like they say he's like Drake London, and he might be a little bit wider with his broader with his shoulders, but he's more skinny like a Christian Watson. And what exactly are we dealing with here? Like, I was standing next to him today, getting a good feel for Ted's body. Not good.
What if
good,
he runs a 4.58, and then you got Golden at 4.5.
And then Luther Burden, you look at him, and look, I think Luther Burden's great. If I was basing this on 2023 tape alone, I would say this is hands down. Like, it's going to be really hard to have anybody above Burden, but I mean, 2024 happened, and it wasn't like there was a change in quarterback. It wasn't like there was a change in the system. The explosive run rate for the team, despite their not being as good a runner as they had in Cody Schrader. It was just the offense ran differently. I'm still going through the Missouri All 22. Yeah. Every time I do, though, I just end up watching the right tackle, number 79, Armand Bimbo. But regardless, so what I'm saying is that there are questions about Luther Burden. There's questions about Ted McMillan. For fantasy, there's questions about Travis Hunter. Like, who knows if he plays 15 snaps a game, what you're going to do. Yeah, dude, Matthew Golden runs a 4.35. All of a sudden, it's not going to be any – it won't be something – it won't be blasphemous to just say, well, why can't we talk about him as wide receiver one? So that'll be an interesting thing to follow, and we'll see about that. Any takeaways from the running backs? Any other wide receivers that you wanted to hit on?
A running back, we kind of want. I mean, personally, I'll speak for this. Personally, I wanted to see what Caleb Johnson, Dylan Sampson, and Amari Hampton, how they sized up. I love the size. It's one of my favorite things of going to all these events is just walking up and not even talking to them sometimes, but just like looking at them. Watching them move.
Standing next to them.
Looking at their traps. Yeah. Looking at their calves. Looking at how they're built. Looking at how they walk, their gait, all this different stuff. And I couldn't help but just be like, you know, Caleb Johnson's fine. Dylan Sampson's fine. But then you look at Omari and Hampton, who they wear these – they're not like dry fit, like tight shirts, but they're like those breathable shirts by New Era. And he comes and he's up there and you're like, man, this guy's rocked up, biceps popping, forearms popping, pecs popping. You can kind of see his traps popping through. And then he gets off and he starts walking. And from behind, his traps are bulging through the back of his shirt. And he just walks. And he is as well a put together back as there is in this class, period.
If this was last year. If this was last year, he'd be the far and away RB1. He'd be on a different tier than the rest.
Yes.
I mean, he's my RB2 in the class, and we've had the Ashton Jeanty conversation, and it doesn't need to be rehashed about, you know, just after what he's done, he simply can't be ignored.
He's a first-round back.
There's discussion among some people saying that some teams, if they're not going to take him one overall, but there are teams and certainly individual scouts within teams that have his ranking, you know, not on how they would take him, but like they say, he's the best player in the class.
Yeah.
So like Jeanty is bad. I don't think that there's that much discussion as far as RB2, and yeah, being able to see Omari Hampton today, it really helps solidify. My comp was Jonathan Taylor. There was somebody else today that said that they saw some Jonathan Taylor in him. Cody, you were what did you mention something about Adrian Peterson?
Todd McShay last night said that when he went back to one of his first combines he ever came to, he said, I didn't know a lot back then, but what I did know is when I walked in, I saw Adrian Peterson. He was muscled up. He was popping through the shirt. And you're just like, that thing's different than everything else.
Yeah.
And I think the same thing can be – and he brought up the comparison to Omari Hampton. He goes, I think we're going to see him, and he's going to look different than everything else, and spot on, dead nuts, looks different than everything else.
All right. So, all right. Final question for you. All right. Final question. You've not gone on the record the same way I have, saying that Omari and Hampton is your RB2 in the class. You've been a little wishy-washy. There have been others that you have said that you might like better than him. You've watched them now. You've watched multiple games of them. We have really good – we have like – how many all-22s we have? We have like seven of Hampton. We have a bunch of – we have all of them for the Ohio State guys. I feel, and then we have what, like four or five for Caleb Johnson. I feel like those are the guys that are in consideration. After seeing him today with your own two eyes and barring a disaster as far as the 40-yard dash, are you willing to go on record? Omarion Hampton, running back two.
I'm willing to go on record that I see Omarion Hampton weighing in between 218 and 224 pounds running like the daylights on Saturday. This guy, back-to-back 1,500-yard seasons with 15-plus touchdowns. Only four guys in ACC history have done this. ETN, Cook, Lamar Jackson, Dalvin Cook, Travis Etienne, Lamar Jackson, and Omarion Hampton. 100% Omarion Hampton is my running back two, is your running back two, and is the running back two in the 2025 NFL Draft.